The only thing more exciting than a Big Brother power trip is playing Big Brother US live feed bingo on robhasawebsite.com. All you need to do is sign up for the Big Brother 16 early bird special for the live feeds. It's just $23.99 for the whole summer. That's 20% off the regular season price, and you'll be eligible for a Big Brother live feed bingo card where you could win $500 just by watching the Big Brother live feeds. So find out all the rules on how to play and how to get your Big Brother live feed bingo card. Just go to robhasawebsite.com/bingo. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's always on a power trip, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our coverage of Big Brother UK. Launch nights 1 and 2 are in the books, and we're here to talk about it here with our Big Brother UK experts. First, let me introduce you to the man, the world-traveling man who's just back from Hong Kong. Here he is. It's Mr. Kurt Clark. Kurt, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Welcome back. Good to have you here to cover some UK Big Brother. And then here's a man who's already been in the pool today, the Big Brother expert himself of a Big Brother around the world. He is the Jason Derulo of Big Brother. Here he is. It's Ian Terry.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob. Always good to talk about Big Brother.
Ian, you look like you're in the Big Brother house right now.
Obviously, I'm currently in sequester. They've taken us returning players and put us in hiding. I'm currently in Mexico, so I have no access to any other forms of media. Really getting excited for Big Brother 16 taking on Eric Stein.
Oh, wow. That's going to be huge. I can't wait to see how that's going to go.
Ian versus Eric. It's going to be really good.
Yes. Yeah. Who is more likely to be the power trip recipient, you or Eric Stein on the first night?
I would probably guess me for some reason. I don't know why. I guess people just never liked Eric Stein unless they actually understood the show really well.
All right. So everybody download your app to vote on Ian Terry versus Eric Stein on night one of Big Brother 16. All right. So let's get into it. We've got a good sized live audience for sort of an impromptu thing. I sort of announced it at the last second. So welcome to everybody who's watching us live, and also you guys listening in the archives. We were all sort of blown away with the response that we got from this during the week. Ian and Kurt sort of said, hey, let's talk about Big Brother UK. Maybe some people will be interested. But I personally wasn't expecting the as big of a response as we did get. So good job on you guys.
Yeah, I'm just encouraged that people decide to check out the premiere. I know that we talked about I think there's a bit of a rap bump for Whodunit last summer. People hadn't heard about it and decided to check it out. And I saw in some of the comments that some people decided to give this a check out. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So all the way around, good job, guys. And let's talk about a little bit about what we saw in the launch. Now, I have a feeling that some people are going to be listening to this podcast who didn't watch the launch. So if you don't mind, to everybody who's listening and you guys as well, we'll set up a little bit more than we would if we were just expecting that everybody had seen it. So we got to see, and I got to see for the very first time, the Big Brother UK launch. And there was a lot of things that were different about the way they handled this than the American Big Brother. Were you guys impressed with the two-night launch?
Yes, I liked it.
As far as the load-in goes, we won't talk about any of the twists, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I like the way that they do that. I feel like you can't do it in America for the same reasons. Canada, where they put them in 5 at a time, doesn't really work so well because they'll just make an alliance right off the bat. But for the UK format, it's definitely good.
Yeah, and the way it works is they sort of like have sort of like a red carpet set up, and they show everybody your package, and then everybody, the people watching, get to see your package, and then they come out, and sometimes you get booed, and sometimes people cheer for you, which I feel like is sort of bad play on the part of the people who are going into the house, because then the people are going to vote to keep you. So why would you say things in your package to make people boo you?
Right, because the producers ask you leading questions, and you know they try to get you to say interesting things.
Yeah. So
I mean, imagine, it's like the Spencer Bledsoe treatment. I think, you know, some of these people potentially portrayed themselves in a certain way to, you know, get a certain distance with the producers. And, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of people who are acting completely differently in the house than we saw necessarily in their package.
Yeah, there were definitely some people that were trying to sort of backtrack from what they were saying in their package when they got addressed. Ash, in particular, was, I think, the person that was the most trying to backtrack from what they were saying in their package once they got introduced to everybody in the house, or introduced to everybody in front of the house.
Right.
Now,
I think he was a little surprised to be booed.
Yeah.
Although that might be a perpetual look of surprise. I don't know.
All right, so that was a little bit about the format changes. I have to say, I do really like the host of Big Brother UK. Has she been the host the whole way through, or have they changed hosts at all?
No. Last summer, go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, the last time I watched it fully through is a guy.
Yeah, she used to be, this Emma Willis, she used to be the host of the Bit on the Side show, and last summer was the first time that she took over the mantle of the host of the main show. And prior to that, it was a former contestant, one of the people who actually had won not only his season, but he won that ultimate Big Brother we talked about, where they brought back all of the prior contested prior winners. So Emma, this is her, I think, only second time hosting the civilian versions.
I thought she was very good. I felt like, unlike Julie Chen and Arissa Cox, who are very sort of like completely impartial and sort of, you know, call it down the middle, like, I felt like she was really like engaging with the contestants before they went into the house. I like that.
I like Emma.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's a very good host for the format.
She's very good. So certainly some other key differences in the Big Brother UK and the US version. We have here the power trip, which sort of was, they got 10 people into the house the first night, and then you got to download an app. And then it was sort of like the MVP on steroids, where the power trip person got to have a lot of special powers. And so first off, were you guys surprised at all to have Pauline be the power trip recipient?
I wasn't
surprised at all. As soon as you could tell by the crowd cheering. I mean, she's older by a mile. They're going to give it to her for sure.
Yeah. I was wondering. The deck was stacked, I would say, if anything, where she came out 10th out of 10th. It's just, she was in the optimal placement to get it. She had a very positive package. And also, she, you know, she's a 50, the oldest person in the house. She came out, she danced. People love older people dancing, smiling. So, and everybody else was kind of also pretty disagreeable also. So she was like the one person in the first night who was had a very positive package all around, and it seemed like the deck was stacked for Pauline.
I agree, and yeah. I'm not necessarily upset by that either.
Yeah, so she ends up with a lot of power, and let's talk about the players, I think, and then get into some of the impact of what she did. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Why don't you guys start that? I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Kurt, does the format of Big Brother, and I'm not sure if this is all the time that they do this on Big Brother UK or not, but were they going for the motif of like 1998 technology, like basically, like it was almost like a MS-DOS screen of like load Big Brother, run Big Brother program. Like, what is that motif they're going with?
Now, I think that was just trying to tie into the whole idea of power and power trip. And they said for a while that they wanted to go as with kind of a futuristic sort of futuristic look and feel for this. I mean, the last time we saw the house in January for their Celebrity Big Brother, like, you know, and Emma kind of referenced it when she gave a tour of the house. The front steps were this kind of actually sweeping, grand, carpeted look and feel. There was like chandeliers everywhere. So it was it used to be like a much more almost elegant look. So this is just something that they change up the look and feel of the Big Brother house in the UK pretty much every year.
Yeah, a couple things. I really do like the look of the inside of the house, that it is futuristic. I think that most of the living room looks like it's like the living room on the the USS Enterprise NCC-1701-D. And so I very much appreciate the next generation look that they have going on there. And
this is not furnished by the brick.
Yes, very, very good. Or IKEA. So
or CB2. Yeah.
Yeah, all very good stuff. So I like how the house is designed. Wasn't Celebrity Big Brother always after the regular Big Brother? Did they space that out now?
They now have it twice a year.
Whoa.
Yes. So there's a version that starts usually in January or February. And then just a couple years ago, the summer I first really started watching, they do a second season immediately after the civilian season. So after this season ends, within like a week, they completely change around and clean the inside of the house, and we'll probably be seeing Celebrity Big Brother UK in mid to late August, whenever this season ends.
Okay, I feel like I could really get behind a celebrity shorter Big Brother UK. Like, I feel like to take on a whole nother Big Brother in the UK version at the same time we're trying to cover US Big Brother seems like a bit much, but I feel like in a short burst, I feel like I could get up for that.
Yeah, and that's only about like 2.5 to 3 weeks long, and it moves at a much faster clip in terms of what happens in the house.
Okay, all right, let's talk about the people real quick, and let's not spend too much time on each person. What do you want to go by, alphabetical order? Or do you want to go by the order of arrival at the house?
I'm tempted to go by order of arrival, only because that tells a little bit more of a story, I think. But it's up to you,
Ian. That sound good?
Yeah, I mean, the one that I was going to say, Pauline, I would maybe start with her because she has all the power, but okay. Otherwise I'm fine with that.
All right, so Pauline, she was actually the 10th out of 10 to arrive on the first night. She is a dancer. She's done all sorts of different, she worked with Kylie Minogue, and she's overall a, you know, older but seemingly wise person to be in the house.
Very positive attitude as well. Seems upbeat.
Yes, she's definitely not giving off a Jerry Big Brother 10 vibe for the oldest person in the house.
Correct.
So we certainly like her. She has the power trip power going for her. Do you feel like, is she the person to beat right now in Big Brother UK? And honestly, I don't really know how the rules are going to work the whole season, so it's difficult for me to say, but it seems like she's in a good spot.
Yeah, I don't think that necessarily...
Good starting spot.
Yeah, I don't think that her having this power early on is going to hurt her in any way. And again, I think as Ian said, when we chatted last, that you kind of have to be hated by both the house and the public in order to really go home. And I think she's liked by both. Luckily, the things that she had to do so far as the holder of the power trip haven't been too... I think damaging for her game, but we'll see how that changes as the weekend progresses.
All right, let's set up what power she had. Okay, so basically people got to vote on the app.
They had to download the app immediately.
Yeah, they had to download the app, and then they voted for her. And then she had to pick two players. Now, she got to see a little bit of everybody's package. She got like a little peek of everybody's package in the house. And so she got some information. Did either of you guys have an issue with the like little clip that they chose from each person's package? Because it definitely was Big Brother sort of pushing her in a direction where they wanted her to go.
Yeah, they definitely
It seemed like some people just had like some innocuous comment about like, I don't know, liking food or something like that, where other people were just putting on a full display of braggadocio.
Yeah. Hashtag food is delicious, of course.
Yeah.
Kurt, is this typical for Big Brother UK?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that takes some getting used to in the translation across the pond, is that you'll see that the editing isn't always even-handed, at least in that regard. And I definitely, after they showed like Tamara, talking about how she's very, power hungry, and then they end with showing Pauline how Mark says he loves Mariah Carey, I was like, I was pretty sure that she was going to choose Mark to reward, because she had to choose somebody to reward and somebody to punish. And I was pretty sure where she was going to go with the reward after seeing the small clip of each of the other nine players.
Yeah, I also got the sense that Pauline does not have a good memory and was sort of like, she was like, okay, sure. And maybe she was overwhelmed with stuff, but I feel like that she was like easily led. I don't think she's like thinking about things pretty strategically.
No. Right. And for those who didn't get to see it, like after she was told that in the living room that the UK had picked her to be the power player, this thing that reminded me of like the crystals from the original Superman movie, the Fortress of Solitude, this little like icicle thing comes up out of this pedestal next to the couch. And this was her key to the control room. And after taking about 22 minutes to find the actual control room and unlock it, it reminded me a little bit of the secret room in Big Brother Canada, where that's where she had to go into this small room with these big displays everywhere. And that's where she saw everybody's package.
Yeah. So she has to make a decision that one person to punish and one person to reward. Okay. Right.
And I did think she was going to punish the wrong person based on her memory of the packages.
Yeah, did she? Do you think that? I didn't find Matthew's clip to be too inflammatory. I thought from the look she made, I thought she seemed to react stronger to Danielle's package.
I was surprised she didn't punish Danielle.
I think everybody, at least for me watching, I thought Danielle was who was going to be, was going to get punished. I mean, even before they showed the clips, I was like, well, we all know based on who seemed to get like the biggest reaction out of social media and from the crowd, I thought it would be her as well.
I did too, but she ultimately ends up picking to reward Mark, because he talked about Mariah Carey. We'll talk about Mark more when we get to him. And then she punished Matthew, and we'll talk about how he handled the punishment when we get to him. Then the other piece of news that she got to do in the second night of the launch was that she got to pick one person to go all the way to the finale. Forget the Tyler Perry idol. This is the Big Brother Power Trip. Is this the most powerful twist in the history of reality television, to go from the premiere night to have a golden ticket all the way to the finale?
I don't know about you, Ian, but I was surprised, and it might, it might be.
I do remember reading or seeing maybe a clip where some guy on like a shorter version of the UK one had to do some task through an earbud on the first night, where he had to like say stuff, whatever the earbud told him to do, he had to do while everyone was coming in. And I think he also was given an exemption all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And when one thing that the people who viewing might not realize is the finale of Big Brother UK typically is about 4 to 5 people. So it's not a final two, and it's not a final three. Typically they get down to about 4 or 5 of the 16 players, and then it's kind of a countdown as to who got the most votes to win. So it's not like she's sitting in the final three with people. There's like 4 other people there with her. The other thing is, while it's she doesn't have to do much, the downside of it is that she doesn't have to do much, and she might not make a lasting impression on the home audience if she doesn't have to fight or worry about anything, if she just kind of is lazy the entire time. So I thought she was going to actually have to, well, when we get to it, who it was, I thought she was going to have to stay in that cubicle that they placed her in the entire game in order to take this advantage.
Yeah. I was surprised too. Now, do you think that the audience will hold it against Helen, who she ultimately gave it to in the end? Like, will people not want to vote for her to win the game because that she got a free pass the whole way through? A la,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they'll hold it against her as much as in terms of not liking her. I just think that they'll maybe feel a stronger bond with people who actually had to play the game. So it really depends on how she handles herself the next few weeks and the next couple months, and if she's entertaining the entire time, and whether or not this twist is final. Does she give up this pass to the end for something else? Is there an Ica situation where everybody will get their letters from home, but she has to give up her pass to the finals? Well, we don't know yet.
Well, is that something that would happen on BBUK?
Potentially.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right. And then
I mean, that's the thing you got to remember is a lot of the stuff from Big Brother Canada, these are ideas that were similar because they watched the UK version or some other country's version and got the idea from them. So that seems like something for sure. The ICA, it's a perfect example of that.
Yeah. I think that every season I've seen of Big Brother and Big Brother UK and the celebrity Big Brother UK, there's been some version of letters from home, letters getting shredded, people having to do embarrassing tasks, and if they don't, then somebody's letter gets shredded or something like that.
Oh my God. So many shreddings. It's incredible.
Absolutely.
And then the third part of this power trip is that on Sunday night, Pauline has to pick somebody who's then going to be nominated every single week for the rest of the season.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be really fun. And actually, unless she picks someone that is just like already, you know, absurdly unpopular. Like, say she just picks somebody that's like kind of a non-entity right now. I think that the fact that they're going to be nominated every week is going to, you know, give them a little bit of a sympathy card from that's the true. Viewers. And I think that'll actually drum up support. So unless you're like Danielle or someone who's not popular as of now, getting that nomination every week is probably not that bad of a thing.
Okay. Right.
Especially if there's, my guess is there's going to be three, with one guaranteed nominee, there's probably going to be three nominees each week.
I would agree, yeah.
And what we don't know yet is whether or not this person's going to be told that they're up every week because of Pauline's choice, or if they're going to perpetually think every week that they're getting voted in by their fellow housemates. So we don't yet know how that's going to be kind of conveyed to this person.
Okay. Let's talk about the cast members. 16 people to go through. We've talked about Pauline. Let's talk about everybody else in the order of their arrival. First person in the house is Tamara, and she is man-hungry, and she looks at men like a buffet. She likes her men hot and stupid, and she's a bit of a Corinne-esque character, maybe not as... You know, with the wit that Corinne has, and few people do, but basically she hates, you know, stay-at-home moms. She's a working professional, and she likes the men, and she likes to probably wear low-cut tops and show people what she's working with.
Yeah, she might as well say she hates cats as well if she's going to be slamming about the housewives of the UK.
Yeah,
I mean, it did not seem like a popular choice for
the vote. To do a move, and again, she has, you know, is very busty with the heaving bosom in the dress, and she did a move like with every single person that walked in the house, where she sort of is bent at the 90-degree angle to the people that are coming down the stairs, and I wonder how much of that is intentional or that's just you know, classic Tamara.
That's habit.
Yeah.
So. But the thing is, I think she might be one of those people, again, who portrayed something, who basically amplified like 10% of her personality when they were showing the package, because she seemed genuinely, I think once the people get in the house, some of this genuine excitement comes out. And she seems to be really actually enjoying some of her engagements with people. Some of the footage I saw of her from the second day, without her being all made up, she's very cute, even you know, without all the makeup on. But again, that was, you know, first person in the house, first impression she makes in the crowd. We'll see what that does to her.
I was surprised that she's 24. She strikes me as older than 24.
A little bit.
I also got that feeling.
Yeah. You know, I feel like a lot of these people that are on the show, for instance, people like Steven is 23, and all these people seem like they're well into their 30s. Is that just a British thing where, you know, a 23-year-old British person seems like a 33-year-old American person?
Well, British people are known for three things. Their good looks,
whoa,
their hardiness, and the rate at which that first quality becomes the second. So...
All right, there you go. Is that a rehearsed line, Ian? That was very fast.
You know, actually, I read it somewhere. I think it was a joke. I think it was about Russian people, but I feel like the same thing could be said about the Brits.
Okay, there you go. So Tamara is...
Pauline is actually 31.
Yeah, who knew? So, yeah, I knew. Tamara, now, is she somebody, could somebody like Tamara, will she be well-liked by the BBUK watching public or not?
It's entirely possible. I mean, I've from what I understand, someone of her type has won before, so I can see it happening.
Okay.
They won't like her in week one, but again, as the real Tamara comes out, I think we'll learn more. Like, she, just from the clips I saw, she seemed to be actually getting along with several of the other girls in the house. And I think what can be really telling is how the women get along with each other.
All right. So the second person to come into the house was Mark. Mark spends a lot of time on his beard. He spends a lot of time grooming. He's a little high maintenance, and he loves Mariah Carey. And he won $5,000 when, or 5,000 pounds.
5,000 pounds.
5,000 pounds. What's the conversion rate on that?
It's like, well, probably that's about, what, 8 grand, I think? A little more than 8,000 pounds.
7,500.
Whoa. 8 grand.
Yeah.
That's huge. Even Mike Boogie would be pumped up for that, right?
I mean, on the first night, I mean, not too bad for an hour of sitting with a cocktail.
So here's Mark. I felt like otherwise was kind of a non-entity in the premiere other than winning the money.
Yeah, I might need subtitles for him.
Yeah, he's gave me a little bit of a Gary Glitter vibe, but maybe a more toned down version of Gary.
A much more toned down version, I think.
Yes. Hard to be a less toned down version of Gary.
Yeah. But it's nice to see that his musical choice netted him five grand in this instance.
But I didn't know there was such big hardcore Mariah Carey fans in 2014.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Pauline's probably a little bit of a throwback music wise.
Yeah.
And you know, Mark must be too.
I guess so. So there you go. Anything else on Mark before we go to number three?
No.
Nah. Okay. So number three was Helen.
Yes.
And so now I guess there's a little bit of a backstory here with Helen, who is, I'm not sure I couldn't really follow what her professional deal is, but she was involved in some sort of a sex scandal. Does anybody have more information on this?
Yeah, I was trying to look it up, and all I could find in terms of she, I guess, premiered on the scene, so to speak. It's saying there's just a well-known she hit the headlines with a well-known personality a few years ago. The only reference I could find, I assumed it was a politician, but it turns out there was a footballer, British footballer, that she was apparently in a threesome with. And it also in that same article is referring to her, like, specifically as a prostitute. So we've seen this before on Big Brother, where more so in the celebrity version, where somebody comes on who has been in the tabloids for a negative reason is kind of coming on to, change the public opinion of them. You don't typically see it in the civilian version, but apparently some people know her. And she didn't really get a lot of boos, and sometimes someone of this persuasion typically does. So I think that was actually encouraging for her.
Yes, she, according to dailymail.co.uk, she's allegedly a former prostitute, she had a history with an English footballer, but I guess
saying according to the Daily Mail, isn't that like saying according to the National Enquirer?
Oh, how dare you? How dare you?
Might as well Wikipedia this.
Okay, so there you go. Now, do we think that is there possible that there's any production influence? Does like Big Brother UK want the, you know, high profile prostitute to stay in the house and should we think it's a coincidence where that person gets a pass all the way to the end, or does Big Brother UK not necessarily trade in that sort of tinfoil hat area?
Oh no, there's definitely, you're gonna see it. There will be punishments, and it's gonna seem awfully choosy who gets certain punishments and how certain punishments are handled. Like I remember reading that like years ago, it was they did a set of nominations, and there was this one girl in the house that the viewers hated, and a lot of people in the house hated as well. So they did their nominations, and then after the nominations were locked in and she would have been up for the vote, she discussed her nominations with somebody else, and that other person had nominated her. So they said, as a result, for those two talking about who they nominated, they canceled both of their nominations, and by doing so, she was no longer up for the vote. So you'll see things like that where it'll seem a little bit choosy.
Yeah. I don't think, though, that in this case, she would have necessarily been the one that production would have wanted to make it all the way to the end. They don't want her out, but at least to me, she seemed a little bit less memorable and a little bit more vanilla compared to some of the other people in the house that they might have wanted to stay till the end. And also, like Pauline, I thought Pauline had to choose from the six people from night two. And then she apparently also thought that. So because when they told her she had to pick from all 15 people who gets the pass to the very end, she was also surprised and had to think about it.
Okay. So that is Helen Wood. I guess Wayne Rooney is the football player that she had the affair with. So I don't know if that means anything to you.
Not a bit.
Could not care less.
Okay. And we've got several UK listeners shaking their fists at us as we speak.
Yes. Okay. So let's go.
Right, like, oh, Wayne Rooney, flight legend, and then they down two pints.
So the fourth person to come in, that was Steven.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So here's Steven, and he is a very successful business person. Now, is he a entrepreneur or he is a sort trust fund sort of guy?
He says he's the managing director of an interior furnishings company, and he made his first million already. So I think he's not to say that his parents don't come from money as well, but he does seem at least somewhat self-made, and his parents work for him now.
Because I feel like this is a character that we've never seen on the U.S. Big Brother, the young, self-made entrepreneur. Because my sense is, on the Survivor, on the Big Brother in the U.S., the more you have going on for yourself, the more good things you have happening to you, the least likely you are to be on one of these shows. Ian, is that fair or unfair?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's people I feel like, well, like, great example is that, was it Brendan on Survivor?
Socatines.
Yeah, I mean, he was a millionaire that had a granola company or whatever, and he went on there and.
But I don't think, you know, I think it became.
Wanted to play hard.
I feel like it became a bigger deal after the show, not necessarily
sure,
before.
Did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't tell anybody or.
No, he didn't tell. I'm trying to think. I mean, but then again, like, I mean, obviously not an entrepreneur by any means. But I mean, you know, Frank, obviously, I mean, I guess he was just looking for something to do.
Or David Sampson, maybe. I mean, okay. Not young, yeah. Not young, sure. But somebody who's like, you know, doing well for themselves.
Right. I mean, the guy, I mean, the $1 million prize would be a drop in the pond that is his net worth. And, yeah. You know, yeah.
So, I'm trying to think of anybody Big Brother wise. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no.
So this is, yeah, I agree, Rob. This is kind of a new territory.
So this is a new trope. Yeah. So right. Here's Steven, and he comes off as, you know, kind of a douche in his package, but then for the rest of the episode, he's a pretty nice guy once he gets in the house.
Yeah, I agree. He wants to be prime minister. Power is important. He didn't come off as immediately likable, but I think the more you see him kind of in the house and when he sheds his suit, I think he might grow a little bit more likable. Although he was striking out in conversation with our next house guest, I think.
I really like him so far. I think he's pretty funny.
Yeah, so far so good, and he seems like he's there to get the showmance on also.
Yes.
So, pretty good for Steven. Now, the next person to come into the house is who? Oh, Danielle?
Danielle. Yeah, and I probably didn't. Steven wasn't hitting on Danielle. I apologize. I misspoke. But yeah, Danielle, not long for this world.
Boy, Danielle, it seems like she has an uphill battle ahead of her because it seems like production is really trying to throw her to the wolves.
Yeah. She, I mean, it's one thing to kind of position yourself as I crave power and I like to control and manipulate people. And it's another thing to espouse your beliefs that same-sex marriage should not be allowed.
Well, she's got a couple of questionable beliefs where.
Okay,
so Danielle, she is the lingerie model. but she's also very against anybody sort of going walking around the Big Brother house scantily clad. She's really
kissing,
and she's also very against anybody kissing in the house. She's against premarital sex. She also believes, gay people don't have the right to be married. Marriage is between a man and a woman, and basically, she is the total buzzkill of the season so far. But I have a feeling she's going to cause the most drama in the house
if she's not gone early.
Immediately, but yeah.
The one part I liked was, I believe it was, so for people who are, again, just getting used to the show, the format of the show is typically, like the episode that airs tonight will recap yesterday's events, and the episode that airs tomorrow will recap today's events. So, and then every so often they'll break in with any live stuff. So if people are making nominations live on Sunday, they'll recap Saturday's episode and maybe cut to the live nominations. But I believe it was yesterday's episode, it was recapping what was happening Thursday night after the show. Matthew was up in his box, isolated from the world, and he was chatting back and forth with Danielle. And he was really actually, I don't know if it was intentional, was she had kind of mentioned that there were some people in the house that she didn't get along with, and he was really drawing her out and trying to get her to say names of, like, who are the girls you don't get along with? Oh, I think you know. No, tell me. No, tell me. Mm-hmm. And then she mentioned that she doesn't get along with, she doesn't like Tamara. And so I think, I don't know if that was Matthew playing the game or Danielle not being savvy that she shouldn't let this information out, but
I think it's more, I think it's both things, Kurt. Yeah.
That could be possible.
Also, I felt like there was a very awkward conversation that comes in the second episode when she's outside and basically it's a conversation between her, Kimberly, I'm trying to place the other two people that were there. I feel like it was definitely Christopher and there was another person there. And it was basically the two guys hearing from Kimberly about how she was a Playboy model. And nobody was talking to Danielle at that point. And she just seemed like she was like really burning up. She did not seem happy about this.
And Kimberly tried to loop her in, because when Kimberly was talking about her own modeling career, she acknowledged to Danielle a couple times, and you must know what this is like, to kind of loop her in and make her a part of the conversation. But the rest of the audience was not including Danielle by any means.
Yeah. Okay.
She reminds me a little bit of Rachel Dratch. There was some.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. She's like a sexy Rachel Dratch, which imagine that in your head, sexy Rachel Dratch.
Yeah, I also had in my notes that she was like a more intelligent but more unlikable Snooki also. So there's kind of a weird Snooki Rachel Dratch combo here. Good.
I wasn't sure if I was out on an island with the Rachel Dratch thing myself, but yeah, sexy Rachel Dratch.
And it wasn't until she was a little bit more casual gear on dates on the second day.
Yeah. She also, I would say this about Danielle, that she's probably a lot more striking from the head on, and I feel like the profile not as good. That she needs to figure out a way to just be directly head on with whoever she's interacting with and the camera.
If I had a bell, I would be ringing it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about then the next person to arrive at the house is who?
Winston.
Winston. I gotta be honest.
Yep.
I probably got about 20% of what Winston's talking about.
He did say he's a bit more smarter than he looks.
He's from Essex. That's that much I know.
He puts the S-E-X in Essex.
So, I mean, I don't know. I know nothing about UK culture, but from what I've gathered throughout the years is that if you live in Essex, that's like the equivalent to being like a sort of like the, like they call it the valley out in California, right?
Whoa.
Like right? Am I right on that?
Like yes? Sort of like a valley girl type thing, like
yeah, I think so. I'm not sure on that at all, but that's what I've gathered.
Okay. So he's sort of like the UK version of like a Jersey Shore guy.
A little bit. They actually have their own version of Jersey Shore called Geordie Shore, but I'm not sure what part, if that takes place. I don't think that takes place in Essex or not. There are a couple reality shows that take place specifically in that area.
I think it's maybe like a little bit more upscale, but from what I understand, if you're from Essex, it's sort of like a stereotype that you're kind of dumb.
Okay. All right.
And so, I can see the comments flowing in already.
Yes.
I don't know. I have no idea, but this is what I've gathered. Being an Essex girl is a negative. It's kind of like, I don't know how to say it. It'd be kind of like almost like a blonde joke, maybe. I have no idea.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I wanted to like Winston, but the more he talked, the less easy it was to like him.
He's pretty much seems like he's there to hook up, and he's only looking for girls that are tens, maybe a nine. He would slum it for a nine.
Yeah.
So
I think he'll be entertaining. I think he'll be around for a while. I think the audience will like him until they get sick of him getting drunk.
Yeah, I had no problem with Winston, other than I couldn't understand what he was talking about.
Yep, subtitles again.
Yeah. Okay, so then the next person then to come in was Kimberly.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay, there you go. All right, here's Kimberly. Now, interestingly, she's an American on Big Brother UK. Is that a first, or does that happen?
They've had Americans who have like dual citizenship or who are currently living in the UK. I don't think they ever just bring anybody over other than for the celebrity version, but I believe she is based in and works from the UK. So she must have some sort of green card or citizenship or something.
Okay. Has anybody Googled, Kimberly, kiss? What's it?
Embarrassingly, no, I have not, but I really, really
should. That seems like an oversight on our part before doing this podcast.
Yeah, this seems like, you know, I'll dodge the collective bullet for us. I'll go ahead and do that.
Okay.
Right now.
Kimberly Kisilovich is her name. Wearing the Playboy bunny ears in her Twitter profile picture, which I feel like is not the move. I feel like that's one of those things, if you have to declare it, I feel like that says to me she's not that big of a deal.
Probably.
Sorry, I was Googling. What was that? No, you may be right. And she...
I think that's the move. That's like the survive... Like, if you go on Twitter and you look at the Survivor players, and the Survivor player that's wearing a buff in their Twitter profile picture, chances are did not make the merge.
There's a good chance, yeah.
Good. Somebody do the research on that. Find me all the people that have the Survivor buff. Or this could also happen with the show name also. The more likely you are to have the word Survivor in your name, chances are the worse you did. But we don't need to get into that exercise.
I have high hopes for Kimberly. She has my seal of approval. She seems very smart. Like I mentioned earlier, that she was trying to loop Danielle into that conversation where she could sense that Danielle was feeling left out. There were a couple other times where she was having a conversation where she was talking about her master's degree, but then she kind of realized that she might be projecting herself as smarter than she wants to project herself. So she said, well, it really wasn't that hard. I think this was in the conversation with Steven, the millionaire, when he was very much trying to hit on her. So I think she wants to kind of prove herself as not just being a model, but at the same time is wary of showing too much that she's intelligent. Maybe she should have been a top secret model like Jeremiah. I don't know.
Oh, that should have been the way to go. Yeah. Were you surprised that she revealed how much about that? Like, for instance, compare what she did with Cara Monaco, who, right, Ian, did not tell people that she was a former playmate.
Correct. A few people had surmised it. So I think Boogie had figured it out. Okay, I mean, he said to me, he's like, I think she lives in the bunny house. And Dan, she told. And I thought she looked really familiar, but I didn't ever put two and two together.
I can't believe Boogie figured that out.
Yeah, well, Boogie figures out a lot of things.
That he should be a detective, that he's figuring out who's a playmate, who's a nurse. Yeah. That should be a new procedural on CBS where Mike Boogie solves crimes.
That'd be a great show.
What would be the name of it?
BBI?
Boogie's on the case? I don't know.
Okay. All right. So there is... this is Kimberly. And
yeah, I think we skipped Matthew.
Oh, did we skip Matthew? I was going male... Oh, you know, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Did we? Yeah, I think we might have skipped. We went from Danielle to Kimberly, right?
We went from Winston to Kimberly, Winston, and we skipped over Matthew.
But. Okay. All right, we'll come back to Matthew. So there's Kimberly. She looks like she has, seems like she has everything she needs to go far in this game, make a deep run.
I'm confident. Just, I don't know. There, the season I really liked from two summers ago, there was an America, someone who was from America but living in the UK, went very far in the game, was very liked by the UK. So we'll see if she can kind of win people over as well.
Yeah. I think she might have the most Twitter followers so far of anybody that's in the house.
Shocker.
Okay. Then let's go ahead and let's talk about Matthew, who I felt bad for Matthew because I feel like I think they kind of wanted him to be sort of like this evil guy, but I don't necessarily get the sense that that's what he is.
Right. He's very shell-shocked.
Yeah. What do you guys make of Matthew? Ian, do you like this guy?
Actually, I thought he was kind of funny. I mean, you know, he was up in the clear box thing. I mean, I was laughing. I definitely got a good, an overall, like a positive read on him, from at least my point of view. Whereas if it came down to, you know, I mean, obviously I wouldn't never vote. I don't think I can vote, but if I were someone voting, I would probably be compelled to give him favor.
Have you downloaded the app?
No.
I feel like that he can definitely play this to his advantage. And of course, if you didn't see the episode, he was the person that was punished. And so his punishment was, this was sort of interesting how they did. They had so basically like two glass boxes and they said, okay, well, you go in one glass box, you go in the other glass box. And they didn't tell anybody who was who. And they basically like exploded money into the, into Mark's box, which, I thought it was going to be like the wind tunnel and he was going to have to grab as much cash as he could. That seems like vintage Big Brother for that. Yeah. And then Matthew was just sort of like in solitary confinement. And I feel like he said that he doesn't like creepy crawlies or something like that. I thought they were going to like release like insects into the box.
Yeah. Actually, as soon as I had seen, you know, and I heard punished, I was thinking at first it'd be like the person would be up for nomination in the first week or something like that. Once I saw the two boxes, it immediately, at least to me, my thought was, okay, one's going to get money in there. It's going to be like the wind tunnel and you have to grab the bucks or whatever. And my other thought is Big Brother UK, from what I've clips I've seen in the season that I had been watching before moving into Big Brother 14 house, where I saw every episode up to when I left, they're a huge fan of gunging people. Apparently in the UK, this is like some like hilarious thing, kind of like Nickelodeon where you get slimed, I guess.
Gunging sliming?
Yeah.
That's what I believe it's called, a gunging. I mean, the thing is, if I was in there and I heard two people are getting punished and I see two clear boxes, the second that I'm getting called into one of them, I'm like taking off my nice suit and just like stripping down and going into the box just in case I get gunged.
Yeah, I actually had in my notes that it's a kind of like Big Brother UK vocabulary 101 was gunged, which basically, yeah, it means getting slimed or gooped. Like they've had to take baths in fish guts, which they end up getting is a gungy experience. And
I think
that's a gunging.
Does that happen slime, if you say the gunge. Words I don't know and then they slime you?
Pretty much.
Oh my god. Okay, so then after Matthew came into the house, who else came in on night one? When then was he next to last, and then Pauline came in?
No, Christopher.
Chris.
Yeah.
He's like, Kim Kardashian is the spawn of Satan, and anybody who tries to achieve celebrity in that manner deserves to basically burn.
You know, a lot of jokes.
Like he's done. So
you really got a sense of what's in the zeitgeist in the UK right now, because they're, you know, basically the first in the opening moments of the show, they're like, we're going to slap you harder than Solange Knowles. And it's like, this is going to be more exclusive than the Kimye wedding. So there's a lot of talk of Kardashians, a lot of talk of Kimye. So I didn't know the Brits were so obsessed with some of our celebrities over there.
Oh yeah, translates great over the pond.
Yeah, I guess so. That I feel like you know, over here, I feel like people would be like, could you imagine Julie Chen bringing up a Solange Knowles reference on the Big Brother?
I'd pay to see that.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Christopher. And now, what's his deal? He's a reporter.
He said he's kind of a reporter. I don't know really what that means. Maybe he's a blogger, but I actually liked him. I thought he was pretty likable. He seemed very kind of man of the people, almost a little bit.
Yeah, he seemed almost like so vanilla that it's just like the type of person that anyone can get behind. He just he seems so nice and genuine that the British public will just take to really liking this very inoffensive character.
Did he say his idols are Madonna and Jon Snow?
Yes.
Yes.
There you go. Not a combination that you see very often.
I'm going to call it right now. He will either be the first or second person out on finale night.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Now, come finale night, he will come in either fifth or fourth. He will not win, but he will make it to the final.
Can I ask you guys a question? Now, I watched this on YouTube, and my video on YouTube for the premiere was on like a 30-degree angle. Was that just the way the person uploaded it to YouTube, or was that how the show was actually broadcast?
That was that particular upload. I'll make sure that there's a pretty good link out there to a person who uploads the full episode and doesn't chop it into 10 minute chunks.
Why did that person, is it like Riot where it's like everything's more hilarious on a 25-degree angle?
I wonder if
it might be, at least I have a guess, is that if they have like a copyright filter, by changing the angle.
Okay, but that's
my guess.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, and there's feeds out there that aren't at an angle.
Yes. Luke Foodie in the chat room updates us and says, Jon Snow is a Channel 4 news presenter, not the watcher on the wall. So this just in. Yes, okay. Not the bastard of Ned Stark. Not that Jon Snow. Apparently there's a Jon Snow who sucks, and that is the one that he likes.
I like our reality better.
Yeah. All right, and then Pauline is then the last person to come in on night one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, and actually one more thing. I think one of the funniest tweets I've seen in quite a long time was her supposed son tweets out, why is my mom on Big Brother when she said she's going on a business trip? And then several stern-faced emojis. It's been retweeted 12,000 times and favorited 9,700 times.
What should Pauline have said? She was going to Greece? Is that the move?
I think that's the move, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then in night two, we have six more people come in. Do you like the way that they split this up with 10 people the first night and then sort of like six people the second night?
Yeah, it works for me.
Fun. Yeah. I can live with it.
Admittedly, by the second night, I was a little bit like, all right, let's move it along here.
Right. And plus, especially because you saw on night two, they kind of recapped everything that happened after the live show ended. A night one, so they had to recap the rest of Thursday night, and then they had to go through all that, and then they had to get to the six new house guests.
Because I was really into the stuff that was going on in the house in the first part of the second night, and I was like, oh, this is good, this is good, I'm liking this, this is good, and it's like, oh, back to more introductions and more people coming into the house.
At least it was Emma.
Okay, yeah.
Before we get to the next tip, what did you think, Rob, of the format of how they kind of show things in the house, where it's literally almost like a chronological order of the day. They timestamp it. They have the announcer set it up, and then it just lets the scene play out.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good.
Okay.
Wait, yeah. did you dislike it?
No, I think it's just such a departure from how the U.S. I think it's one of the marked differences between the U.K. version and the U.S. version. That, and I'm glad we got to see some of a couple diary room sessions that also kind of set up that conversation between Big Brother and the house guests.
So that's the thing. The analogy that I like is that Big Brother US, it's like American football, where it's like constant action, super commercialized, you know, it's just like boom, boom, in your face, you know, tons of action, people hitting each other all over the place, all this craziness. Whereas UK is like association football, where it's like super, super slow, and you just kind of watch and take it in, and you know, then something crazy happens, and then it dies down again.
The season's not going to end 0-0, right?
Right. Yeah, there's no tie.
Good.
Although I personally feel that I already know, I feel like I know some of the house guests in this season better than I knew many of the house guests in last season's Big Brother US.
Yeah.
Like, you get a more sense of the personality and behind the person.
And I have to say that overall, I feel like the contestants that have been cast for Big Brother UK compared to the Big Brother US, I feel like that on Big Brother US, I feel like we get a lot more sort of like bimbos and himbos on a Big Brother season, where I feel like everybody that pretty much went into the Big Brother UK house, I feel like is more of an interesting person than three or four of the people that are just like, hey, it's summer, gotta have people that look hot in a bathing suit.
Summer time.
Get the beach ball out. Get the raft out. Give this guy a noodle for his picture. Yeah.
We'll show the commercial. I always, Matt Hoff and I, we always joke about the preseason commercials for Big Brother US, how even this year they upped it to having the logo look like a little cabana. and Matt and I will joke, we'll see like the commercials. There'll be like 2 seconds tops of like me and him, and then it'll show like Annie Whittington in a bikini for 5 seconds of a 20-second spot when she was the first one out. So, summer fun.
Yeah.
Sexy summer fun.
I feel like they need like a diving board in the Big Brother house just to maybe really make the point.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. All right. So, anyway, let's talk about the people that show up in night two. We have Toya.
Yep.
And
I like Atoya.
You like Atoya.
I do. I know that I was getting a little bit of an Ika vibe from her, actually.
Whoa.
I'm looking forward to seeing how she plays the game.
I was a little indifferent on Toya. Ian, did you have strong feelings one way or the other on Toya?
No, I seem pretty neutral on her, probably more than anybody on the cast.
Yeah. All right, let's move to
moving on.
our next person, and then who came in after Toya? Was it Ash?
Chris.
Okay, here's Chris. Chris, I would say this out of the people that we cast, was he probably the first? What do you call it? Ian, people of Walmart.
He's certainly not a good-looking guy, but he's certainly not like people of Walmart.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, you know, it's actually very odd this year because normally there's a lot more people that are just like, you know, really, really unattractive. But there's not. I mean, it's just another person that's kind of like TV unattractive.
Yeah, and he's an actor, you know, seems like he had champagne with Sean Connery one time, right?
Yeah. It's slightly getting a slightly creepy vibe.
Well, I felt like that's what they were going for in his package. I think felt like they were trying to like play him up like he plays creepy characters.
Yeah, if you say he plays clowns, psychos, and psycho clowns.
Yeah. So there you go. There is Chris. He becomes the 12th person to come into the house. I'm trying to see how big of a deal he is as an actor. I'm looking at his Twitter right now. And yeah, he's only got 575 followers. So, not that big a deal. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
he's not on the celebrity version for a reason.
Yeah, I feel like there's much less to say about the Night 2 people. Maybe since we didn't get to see them interact in the house much. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like some of the Night 2 people, it was, a couple of them made an impression, but, I was sort of like, okay, I'm a little over the introduction. So this might just be a matter of my own fatigue with, watching 3 hours of this on YouTube. If you watch it, probably if you watched it in two nights, it probably wasn't as bad. But if you watched it like I did straight through, there might have been a little fatigue with the introductions by this point.
I can see that. But then we get Ashley.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, here's Ashley. And I was disappointed that Ashley didn't come into the house with the same curly hair she had in her video.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Allison on Big Brother Canada where... it's just constantly oscillates back and forth between curly, curly and super straight. And I would imagine the straight, probably the better look.
Now, what's her deal? She's 18 and she's from Scotland?
Yeah.
Or is she from Ireland?
Oh.
Derry?
Derry would be Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes, a youngest person in the house by far. What do we make of her?
Uh, I don't think she'll be nominated right away. I actually watched, I typically don't watch the bit on the side shows, the after show. But I think the vibe there is, I think the panel discussion seems to think that many of the housemates will likely want to take her under their wing. So it Whoa. Depends if she's as
like Winston.
Yeah. Winston, Steven, Marlon, we haven't got to. But I think that she'll be fine. I just don't know yet if she's ready for the game or if she's actually got a cutthroat side we haven't seen.
Okay. Allegedly, Luke Foodie in the chat room has a report and says, by the way, Ashley is 100% ugly without makeup. This cannot be confirmed at this time on the show.
Oh, we'll see. I noticed someone else said Ian's crush of the season. That is to be determined.
TBD?
That is TBD.
I actually have that in my notes, too.
Do you have any sort of cachet with a Big Brother UK person? Like, if you were to meet somebody from Big Brother UK, let's say they there is no jury, so I don't know how they figure out who's dateable and who's not. But if you were to meet a Big Brother UK contestant and tell them, hey, you know, I won Big Brother US, would they be like, so what? Or that would actually, like, if you, for instance,
actually,
if you went up to somebody from Big Brother Canada and said, hey, I won Big Brother US, that would be a big deal. But to a Big Brother UK person, would that hold any sort of cachet with them?
Okay. You have a non-hypothetical here.
Yeah, I've tested this experiment, actually, Rob. So anyways, like I said, I was watching the 2012 one before I had gone on to Big Brother 14, and there was one girl in particular that was very attractive on that particular version. So I was like, all right, you know, I'm gonna see what happens. So I was in the house and I was sitting there in the hot tub one time talking to myself. I said, gee, I wonder whatever happened to that Lauren. I wonder if she's still in the Big Brother UK house. Well,
on the live feeds, you said this, right?
On the live feeds, okay. Yeah. So naturally there is some kind of crossover audience. So I said something like, oh, she was my favorite by far. So there was a crossover audience. She had been evicted at that point. I didn't know. But someone had tweeted, it's like, oh, this guy said really good things about you on the Big Brother America live feeds. And I was definitely so I got out. She congratulated me on winning. And she follows me on Twitter, so I guess you can say that things are getting pretty serious.
Whoa. Oh, my God. All right. Things are getting hot and heavy. Did you follow her? Did you follow her back? That was a consensual Twitter?
Yeah, I think I did follow her back. I still follow her.
Did you guys DM? That's going all the way on Twitter.
There was no DM, okay. Unfortunately. Maybe there was. I actually don't remember, but there were tweets back and forth for sure. So like I said, pretty serious stuff there. Rob. Yeah,
the follow and then the follow back, that's like second base on Twitter. Once you the DM, once you put it out there and then you get like the DM and then you get the DM back, you've gone all the way on Twitter, my friend.
Yeah, and if I ever move to what is it, like the Jersey Island that's off of UK, if I ever move to Jersey, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to then who comes in after Ashley. Is it Ash? Is that the...
Marlon.
Marlon. Or is it Marlon or Marlon?
I thought it was Marlon. I would have pronounced it Marlon, but maybe I misheard something.
Okay.
But yeah.
So here's...
Loves the ladies. Ladies.
He loves the ladies. I couldn't... that he has some sort of alter ego, and I couldn't tell the difference between the names of his alter ego. What's the name of his alter ego?
I missed that as well. And that doesn't really necessarily bode well for him in the house, at least in terms of.
He has like some sort of like alter ego that's almost indistinguishable from his real name. It's sort of like a Steve Urkel, Stefan Urkel thing.
He has an alter ego called Marlicio Silver. And wants to show the world what he is all about. His alter ego has a last name too.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on with his alter ego, but I didn't really get a lot of sense from him. But apparently, he's like the foil for Winston of the other guy that's trying to get all the women in the house.
Yeah, I think so. And when he came in, Christopher, the journalist from night one, it looked like they knew each other. Like, it looked like they had maybe, like, traveled in the same circles or, I don't know, but there was, like, a familiarity that kind of, like, they hugged. They did a bro hug, and it seemed
like there was a... I can shed some light on this one. From what I understand, the audition process that they use has them do a group interaction of some kind. Like, for instance, they might give them like a bunch of toothpicks and marshmallows and have like a group of five possibilities, like have to, construct a marshmallow tower or something like that. And they watch how you interact with the other people. So I remember on one version, there was this, one woman and one guy, and as soon as the woman walks in, you see the guy just go, "Oh shit!" and like kind of scurry off, and then the voice guy goes, "They did not get on during auditions."
Oh, it's good to get the backstory.
In the UK,
yeah.
So
they might know each other from that.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay, and then after Marlin, then I guess we have.
Ash.
Okay. And Ash makes a strong impression because he kept talking about in his bio about how he never had to work hard for anything in his life. And apparently that's a real button to push with the Big Brother viewing audience because he came out to very negative reception.
Right. And I thought for sure when I was thinking that Pauline was going to have to give the free pass to one of the night two people, I thought for sure she was going to give it to Ash. And then again, one more thing he did not have to work for.
Yes. He does not have to work hard to meet the ladies. He doesn't have to work hard for anything. And I have no idea what any of that is like because as somebody who nothing comes easy for, I cannot even imagine what it's like to live one day as Ash.
He looked a lot like Emmett in some of the footage from Big Brother Canada 1.
Not too bad. Not bad.
His dream is to be Matthew McConaughey, and his greatest accomplishment in life was being born.
Something he did not have to work for at all.
I love these like questions sometimes when they read them off. Because like I say, I watch the launch, you know, every year, and sometimes they'll read these things off and the host will have to explain what it is to people. Like someone will be like, his dream is to be reincarnated as a pair of pants. You know, what does that even mean? Who's coming up with this stuff?
I don't know. I guess it depends whose pants they're going to be.
I guess so.
So then the final person to come into the house then was, now how do you say
this? Jale.
Jale. Yeah, this is like the Lisi of Big Brother UK.
The audience seemed to like her, though.
Yes, I mean, there's fan favorite.
It's a good crowd reaction.
Yes, she's a real wacko, it seems like.
I find it really hard to live with people.
Unfortunately, though, only 237 Twitter followers at this point. Her Twitter bio describes her in one word as a nutball.
I always love that, though. Usually, if you say you're a nutball, then you probably aren't.
Are not.
If you have to declare it.
If you have to declare it, then you're not.
Right. I always love that. Like, it's like, oh yeah, I'm such a goofball. It's like, no, you're not. if you declare it, you're too self-aware.
Do you want to hear some of her tweets? Because maybe the tweets might sort of counteract her declaring she's a nutball.
Let's give it a listen.
Okay.
Is this our glass house Erica of the season?
I don't know. She tweets on May 8th. Let's see how many roof tiles I can throw, Dick. okay. Okay. On May 8th, she also tweeted, "Neighbor pounding door cause para her builders will damage my car. All cause they are throwing tiles off the roof. I'm ill in bed. # don't throw them then." So very upset about throwing the roof tiles on May 8th.
Okay, so all I'm taking away from this is that she seems to be illiterate and working in a building where they're doing maintenance on the roof.
So, I don't know. She tweeted on May 1st, "Eyeing up a can of woo-woo."
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
British person translation, please?
We don't know. She also has a pretty insane memory wall photo. Have you seen this?
No.
Yeah, that's kind of odd, but come on.
Yeah, she has sort of like went for the really silly memory wall photo. Perhaps the silliest memory wall photo I've ever seen.
I mean, come on. It's McCray or Casey is who you're kind of going against there.
Yeah, well, hers is pretty wacky.
Yeah, it is definitely wacky, isn't it?
Okay, all right. So now, will the British public like this, or will they sort of say that she's hamming it up for the cameras? What do you think of her? The response to her will be?
Playing up for the cameras, I think.
Is that frowned upon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If she had, like, she came, her package was reacted to positively, but if she seems to be putting up a front in the house and maintaining something that's false, it'll go downhill quickly.
Okay. All right. So we'll see what happens. How do you pronounce it? Yaley?
Jolly.
So
you were not even close.
Jolly. Okay. Because she's jolly. Is that how it
exactly.
goes?
Exactly.
Okay.
Jolly, but French.
Okay. All
jolly.
Right. And then episode two sort of ends with the big celebration in the backyard where Helen finds out she's going to get a pass all the way to the end. Did you think that the confetti nuclear explosion that went down in the backyard was a bit much, or do you feel like that was the appropriate response for Big Brother?
It fit. I mean, it was the appropriate response there. I don't think it was inappropriate.
Okay.
I mean, she's in the final five, basically. So I think everybody else is wondering what's going on, but.
Okay. Let's take some of the questions that came in from our audience as we've been talking about the Big Brother and touch on a couple things that we talked about in this episode. This is from Guillaume Schmidt. Who is a European? Love the BBUK. You just need to not think about the US or Canada version and just appreciate this for what it is. Okay?
That's fair.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Like I said, it's like the real world, except they can't leave.
Yeah.
Okay. Ahmed says BBUK is just fan service. There's no strategy whatsoever. Okay. So we'll remember that as well.
I disagree, only in that. Go ahead, Ian.
It's a different strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the strategy to fan service. If everyone's trying to fan service, it becomes strategizing who fan service is the best, but you can't be too obvious about it because then you're playing up to the camera and say, I mean, it's a personality contest,
right?
And also, plain and simple, but you have to sell yourself. So how do you strategize to do that?
Oh, well, then and also the prostitute will probably win, right?
Yeah. And she's got a free pass.
So she sells herself like, the best.
When you're making nominations, you know, sometimes you'll want to weigh like the likelihood of you thinking that you're going to get nominated against who you actually end up nominating. Because if you end up nominating somebody that you don't think that you can beat in a public vote, then that could end up biting you in the butt. So I'd say there is some strategy, but it's definitely not the strategy that we're used to in the US and Canada versions.
Okay.
Correct.
All right, so let's take the question from or statement from Ibrahim, who said, the finale deal for Helen cannot be real, right? I hope not, because she seems like the most boring person in there. Hey, reformed prostitute. This is not boring.
Well, more boring than a non-reformed prostitute.
Yes, that would be more exciting, but hey, right. Yeah, not. I wouldn't say it's boring. Okay.
I'd say the saving grace of that is the fact that the finals is usually a final five. So it's not like we're seeing her in a final two and having to choose.
And the other thing is, if it turns out that she is completely dead weight, you know full well that they'll say 10,000 pounds, give up your free pass, face the vote this week, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, they've done something in the past before where they've offered basically, I think it was the 50,000 or basically half of the final prize jackpot for somebody to just quit the game and walk away from the whole game.
What is the final prize? 100,000 pounds?
I think so. I think that's what Christopher was saying.
Okay.
And no brick furniture.
No brick furniture. Yeah, that sucks. Brick. U.S. Sabotage or Us Sabotage says, I like how people like Tamara get booted, but cocky guys like Winston get all cheers. The sexism in UK BB community is unbearable. Is that a thing?
Yeah. I mean, you got to think about who's voting on these shows, right? You're going to be betting teeny boppers. 14 years old, 15 years old. They like the I think they call them the fit guys, right?
The fit guys. The fit guys.
They don't like the girls because they get jealous.
Can you confirm about that? They like the fit guys.
As a fit guy, I can confirm.
I like the fit guys. You like the fit guy, Ian?
I mean, fit guy. You know, they win the show. I mean, that's the thing is that. I'm sure that you're going to see some guy that's good looking but has the personality of a plank at least get pretty far just based on the fact that some 14-year-old girls are, you know, getting out their text message plan and their app or whatever and boosting him towards the end, and they'll vote some girl out that's attractive because they're jealous.
Yeah, is that going to hurt the senior crowd where you require the app to be able to, like, I feel like if you are, you know, one of these more senior citizens watching the BB UK, are you going to be able to, you know, have the app store at the ready and be able to get your app open and voting on an app?
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. The only thing is, I don't know. It seems like only the power players thing might be through the app. The, you know, regular voting might just be through your phone, right? Yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen. The only other thing is I did read on Wikipedia before coming on here today, the casting, apparently you had to send in a video through the internet, which as far as why this is a pretty young cast, I mean, certainly that's going to discourage your, potential 60-70-year-old person from sending in a video.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if Winston's behaviors in the house offend the public, I mean, it's happened in the past. Like, there was someone on the last Celebrity Big Brother who is seen as a bit of a very much reminds me of Winston. He was in like a British boy band, and he was basically booed and booted out by the public after a while.
So was he not a fit guy?
He was fit, but I think he was seen as playing like two of the girls in the house against each other, and one of the girls who was kind of sweet and likable, and the public did not like how she was being treated, and they voted and got him out. So I think that the reaction that we see isn't necessarily going to play out beyond the first week. It's a lot. They call it pantomime or panto for short in the house. So like when they do the live evictions, you hear the crowd booing or cheering for people. Lots of times the people in the house say, oh, that's just panto. That's not real.
Yeah. What does that even mean?
It just means the audience there is putting on an act. And we see time and time again that the crowd there, their reaction doesn't necessarily reflect the voting behavior of the UK public. So,
wow. Yeah, I've talked to someone that went to one of these, in the audience once. And from what my understanding is if you go to that, I mean, it's kind of like, you have nothing better to do with your time, or you got the tickets for free. Like, you may not even watch. Like, apparently it's pretty common from what I'm guessing that you work in an office and instead of like giving away baseball tickets for meeting a sales quota, they give you tickets to the show. So you don't even watch. You'll just boo whoever comes up.
Oh my God. It's a corporate crowd at the Big Brother entrance.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, it'll be like, you know, first place in the sales contest gets car, second place set of steak knives, third tickets to the eviction. And they don't know, they never watch an episode, but they go and they boo just because it's the thing to do.
Okay. Let's take a few more questions. Carlos V1031 says, do you feel with the big LGBT demographic that watches BBUK that Danielle won't have a chance to win? I say, absolutely, Danielle is totally being set up to be hated.
Unless she has an epiphany in there and turns herself around, but that's A, not going to happen, and B, she's not going to win.
Yeah.
Negative. Yeah, not going to happen.
I mean, this is a show that historically, think LGBT people have done pretty well on. I mean, we're talking back in like 2001, they had a gay winner. I mean, and back then, 2001, Will and Grace was seen as like risque. Right. So,
and he was the one that won the Ultimate Big Brother and ended up coming on to host the show. And then,
yes,
2 years ago, spoiler alert for those who don't want to go back and want to fast forward 20 seconds, but the winner of the 2012 season was a transgender former woman who was got some surgery and went through the procedures to become a male. And
was she a fit guy?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess. I don't know.
Hey.
But extremely, like, very, very likable. And, like, that was the season where that Ian had referenced last time, where there were some crowd favorites, just the people who were legitimately the nice people in the house that you wanted to root for. And they ended up, I think, basically being, like, the final three or final four, even though they were getting picked off one by one at the beginning. So they changed the rules a little bit partway through, I think, to benefit them.
What will be the first U.S. reality show to give us a transsexual? I'm waiting for it. I'm going to be pumped up when we do it. Where do you think we see the first transsexual pop up? Amazing Race?
Bachelor.
No, I think Bachelor. No, which CBS reality show?
It's got to be on Fox.
No, which CBS reality show gives us a transsexual, transgender contestant first? Survivor, Big Brother, or Amazing Race?
Amazing Race.
No, I think Amazing Race. I feel like they'd be last.
What? Really?
Like, really? I feel like they're the most conservative of the three shows.
Well, my money's on Amazing Race. I don't know if the real world has had. I mean, it's obviously not one of the main
I can confirm. Yeah,
I feel like that would be a real classic Big Brother move.
Oh, I don't know about that at all. No, I don't think so. I mean, I remember back when Big Brother 6 was on. That's when people thought it was going to happen, and then someone said, "This isn't Fox. This isn't Fox. Come on."
Yeah.
No, that's an interesting question. I'm curious. We'll have to, like, bet some money now and see when and where it pans out.
I feel like Survivor is trickier because you have the whole, like, even number of men and women, and I feel like it's not as big of a deal with in Big Brother if you had somebody who was there, and it would be their decision to tell people whether or not. So. I feel like that'd be a very interesting question to watch over the next couple of years, because I predict within the next 2 years it will happen, and hopefully sooner than later.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to a question for Ian from George P. Appropriately. Has anyone ever urinated in the kitchen sink in Big Brother US? Ian, has that happened yet? And will that happen in the next 2 years?
Well, let's see. Depends if I'm on it. No, Justin on Big Brother 2, right?
He
urinated.
Yeah.
I remember Dr. Will's like, I mean, technically he was breaking things. He was peeing, on the windows and on the chess set, I think I remember, or maybe he smashed the chess set. So, maybe not the sink, but definitely urinating in interesting places.
Oh my God.
Which will happen first, peeing in the sink in the U.S. or a fancy Japanese toilet?
Ooh, yeah. How about that toilet? They really made a big... That was almost like the opposite world's house.
Almost certainly would be the peeing in the sink.
What? Ian, don't they have HD now? Don't you think that in addition to HD, maybe they made another toilet upgrade to the house?
Okay, I'll be pretty clear here. Like, that toilet area, the bathroom... That is just, the door in there is just, like, completely vandalized with people scratching in words and things like that.
Vandalize the bathroom in the Big Brother house?
I mean, the bathroom
door is just, like... What are some things that it says in there?
90210.
Oh, we know who that was.
Yeah. My initials are carved in there.
We know who that was.
Yeah. I think McCray... or McCranda is written in there, and then from what I understand, someone crossed it out and put exterminated. Renegades is also written in there.
Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah. Like the bathroom stall. For a good time call. No, I'm kidding.
Does production frown upon this sort of thing?
I don't think they notice because they don't watch you go in there.
Yeah, but do they frown upon it in between seasons? Like, don't they? They don't like paint over it, like sort of like new tenants coming in.
It's still there. I mean, it's not even a painted thing. Like, it's carved in. Like, I took my belt buckle and carved it with the little rod that you would loop through the hole.
And so the Big Brother UK house changes the house every year, and the BBU US house can't replace a door.
Correct. That's the thing. You will never see the Big Brother US house change too dramatically because they just like the layout. I mean, apparently the U works very well because they know how it shoots, one. Two, it's very open, so it's hard to kind of, you know, get privacy at all because of how open it is. And the way that they have it set up, it maximizes the amount of, you know, crossing around you have to do. I mean, to get to the bathroom from the bedroom, normally you'd put a bathroom right next to a bedroom. No, you have to go all the way around.
Right. And they don't like...
That's interesting.
You would think that they would say, like, at the beginning of the season, it's like, hey, if anybody defaces the house, anybody vandalizes the house, writes their name on the bathroom door, that's a penalty nomination. And we're going to know that it was you if you do it, because we'll go back and we'll look at the footage. We'll turn the camera on in the bathroom if we need to. They don't sort of warn you at all like that?
I mean, you're not supposed to deface the house, but, I mean, it's just so minor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like you get a lot of scenes happening in there where you're suddenly going to see in the background of a camera shot the back of the bathroom door.
Right, should that be a space on the Big Brother live feed bingo card of somebody writes their name on the bathroom door?
Or defacing the Big Brother house.
No, because you'd have to, I mean, they're never going to show someone in the bathroom carving.
Okay. So
you'd never really know about it.
So if we wanted to make the game really hard, we would put that as one of the spaces. Somebody carving name into Big Brother bathroom door.
Or maybe someone referencing.
Discussing names carved. People discussing names carved into the Big Brother bathroom door.
Sure, that could definitely be one.
Okay, well that could be one. Of course, you could get your Big Brother live feed bingo card anytime and get the early bird special on the Big Brother live feeds anytime. Only $23.99 to watch the Big Brother live feeds for the whole summer. That's a steal, right?
Yeah, and they might win the $500.
Win $500 also playing Big Brother live feed bingo. For more information on that, go to robinswebsite.com/bingo anytime to find out how to play and how to get your Big Brother live feed bingo card. All right. By the way, they're doing also content on. Are you doing anything for CBS for Big Brother live feeds, Ian?
Yeah, I am. I am indeed doing something with them.
Are they having you review all the fit guys going in the house?
You know, I'm not sure what I'm doing. I mean, like I said, here I am in sequester. We'll see what comes down the pipeline, but you'll be seeing me on live feeds this year, that's for sure.
Whoa. Okay. All right, so let's see, any other questions? A lot of stuff we already covered. Anything else you guys had to say in closing about BBUK?
I enjoyed the premiere.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun.
Very fun.
And I'm looking forward to seeing how the what did they call Pauline's Uber nomination? It was like the
killer nomination.
Yeah, the killer nomination. I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out. And
when is she doing that? Tomorrow night?
Sunday night.
I think she does it Sunday night. They'll probably reveal what the result of that is in the bit on the sideshow. It's a little bit weird because, you know, technically Monday's show will recap Sunday's episode, but lots of times on the bit in the sideshow, they'll cover give you a sneak preview of some of the things that happened that very day. So.
Speaking of sneak previews, how about that shower in the BBUK house? I mean, basically, it was really like a slightly opaque piece of glass is the curtain. What's the move? Do people like put like a towel over and then take a shower, or they're just not going to care?
I mean, you know, everyone that knows anything about the Big Brother U.S. house knows that the HOH shower upstairs, that there's like that slightly opaque thing. So what you got to do is you have to take your towel or the underwear that you're wearing and put it in the doorknob and only stand directly behind that, or else it's just going to go on display.
Okay. All right, so now we know. But do the people in the UK house, do they even care about that? They figure, hey, I'm a fit guy.
Some people do.
Yeah.
But it sounded like that Kimberly, the American playmate, she's mentioned that she's used to just walking around naked all the time. Hey. So I'm guessing she may not care.
Right. Well, we hope that she does not get the killer nom.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. All right. So, all right, very, very fun stuff. I plan on trying to follow along with this as much as I can. I don't know exactly how we're going to do this precisely, but Kurt, I know that you will be the constant for however we do this coverage over the summer, right?
I am committing to watching this every day.
Okay, good. Good. So you watch it the whole way, you watch every day the whole way through?
Saying it out loud makes me realize exactly what I get myself into every summer. But yes, I pretty, sometimes it's say like 3 days of catch up or 2 days of catching up, but I pretty much watch every day. I don't watch the bit on the side. Occasionally I'll watch the bit on the side when somebody gets eliminated, because they usually will interview them on there. But long story short, I'm in for the long haul.
All right. So again, I don't know exactly how we're going to figure out the coverage. Right. I guess part of it is going to be seeing how this show performs. A part of it's going to be seeing what you guys say in the comments, but I will give the tabulator every resource necessary to get this coverage happening, whether we do it here on the mothership on Rob as a podcast or as part of reality TV wrap ups. And then that's not all, because on Monday, the tabulator is back to his first love, tabulating, when we are going to open up the polls for the Survivor top 20 players of all time. Paul, you're going to be able to vote on your top 10 picks from the entire Survivor back catalog. And for the first time in 3 years, we will be updating our Rob of the Podcast top 20 rankings. Kurt, are you up for the challenge?
I am up for the challenge.
Okay. When are we going to do a Big Brother top 16?
That
was only 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was only 2 years ago. So I figure the move is that I did the Survivor one, I did that in 2011, and then I did it three years later. I did the Big Brother top 14 right before you went in the house in 2013. 2012, I'm sorry. So then I feel like the move is then to do it every 3 years. So I don't know if then, and then the year after, if I need to do like the all-time Amazing Race top or whatever we end on, the all-time whodunit greatest players list. We need to figure out something for that third year. So then every 3 years, we'll refresh the rankings.
Flavor of Love. No, I don't know.
If the show had one season.
Yeah. So... Well, we don't have to figure that out until summer 2016. So we'll figure out exactly what we're going to cover at that point.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there, right?
Maybe we'll let Amy and Haley count down the top 20 all-time greatest bachelorette contestants or whatever.
Nice.
So we'll figure that out as we go along. So, all right. So coming summer 2015, Ian, you can start campaigning against all the fit guys, okay?
All right. Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Everybody, thank you so much for watching this. We'd love to hear your commentary on Big Brother UK ongoing, what you'd like to see from us this summer as far as coverage goes. And should be a fun summer for Big Brother US and UK. All right. Subscribe to Rob as a Podcast. Click the subscribe button if you're watching us on YouTube, or for the Big Brother main feed for all of our podcasts, robhaswebsite.com/iTunes, and for the BB version, robhaswebsite.com/BB podcast. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.